Welcome to episode number 9 of The Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. This episode, we're talking about your lungs, weird stuff we do to make money, and why studying embryology is important.
So, Micah, tell everybody what we did last night.
We totally did karaoke up in Calder, and it was kind of awesome.
So, what was so awesome about it?
So, because karaoke in Calder is all classic country.
I know. Like 50s and 60s country songs.
Yeah.
With these guys. And some guys, it's really funny, because some guys, when they sing, you can't hear that they aren't a Native American speaker of English, you know, like a North American accent. Like, they sound like they've got a North American accent. And then some guys...
totally sounded like... Because you said Native American.
I know, Victor.
Yeah, like you're going to be making a Rez karaoke.
Yeah, I know. Oh my gosh, but that would also be awesome.
Yeah.
But some guys... You can't hear the Caribbean accent when they sing, but sometimes you totally can.
Yeah, like you close your eyes and it's not like karaoke in Calder, it's karaoke in Kadoka.
Yeah.
And then the classic country, like classic American country with some super thick Caribbean accents.
Mm-hmm.
Every ting will be all right.
And, yeah.
But no, it was a
love it. Yeah, super
it was so
fun.
Much fun. And I don't know what was going on yesterday, like, or last night, but... everyone was having an awesome, like, it wasn't just karaoke, everyone was having fun, and, like, they were just downright goofy.
I know, they were like, Jen, I want to wear your shoes. I was wearing cowboy boots, and I was like, why do you want my shoes? And he's like, so I can dance like Texas, and then he does this, like, Texas-inspired jig that was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. No, everyone was just having an awesome time. I had a ton of fun last night.
Yeah, it was super fun.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's actually talk about some stuff.
All right. Well, I think it's kind of appropriate that we did, karaoke last night and we started talking about that because today we're talking about the lungs.
The lungs?
The lungs. That's a Caribbean way of saying the lungs.
The lungs.
The lungs. So we don't really, like, I thought it'd be cool to talk about the tissues of the lungs because we kind of just think of, like, air goes in, air goes out, but not what that actually means, you know, and like how that works on more of a cellular level, because it's really interesting. So your respiratory tract starts where?
I don't know, in your nose or something?
Yes, in your nose. And there's a whole portion of your respiratory tract that their only job is to get the air down into your lungs. And so it doesn't do, like, gas exchange or anything like that. Its only job is to move stuff. So what it looks like and what it's, like, built out of is totally different than the part that actually does the gas exchange.
Oh, I suppose that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, function is, you know, follows form or whatever. Or form follows function. So we have two, like, major subdivisions. The conduction portion of the airway and the respiratory portion. The conduction is just... getting the air down to the lungs. So, like you said, it starts with the nose. You have that first portion is like your nasal cavity. And you remember when we talked about epithelium?
Yes.
All those different types of tissues.
Layers.
Like columnar. Yeah. Okay, so in your nasal cavity is non-keratinized squamous epithelium. So it's a real flat ones, kind of like your skin, but without all the rough, the proteins inside that... helps it stand up to durability. It's more
sure.
like it's meant to be in a more liquid sort of state, you know? So it's non-keratinized. But as it goes back, it transitions to what we call respiratory epithelium. So it's still those same kind of cells, but now, you know, how we talked about how they're either in layers or they're single file?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so these are now all single file. And they're kind of tall, and on the top they have cilia.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so in case people, you listener, don't remember, cilia is like hair-like projections that stick out of the top of the cell. And so the top of the cell is actually the inside of the respiratory tract. So think of it like a tube. We're talking the cilia are pointed inside of the tube.
So is the cilia to like... make sure particulates don't get in?
Partly, yeah, but it actually has a job before it gets to that too. So we have the ciliated, kind of like the tall column-like ones, and they have goblet cells inside. Those secrete mucus. Okay, the goblet cells, okay. Their job is to kick out mucus. And then also in your nasal cavity, there's like shelves, bony like projections that are kind of like little ridges, three sets of ridges in your nasal cavity.
Okay.
Those are your nasal conchae. And what their job is it introduces turbulence.
Like in an airplane.
Yeah, yeah. And so it like kind of moves it around and stuff like that so that it gets warmed up. Because the inside of your body is 98.7, right?
Approximately.
Yeah. Ballpark. So if you were to breathe in cold air, and really anything below 98 is colder, so that helps to warm it up so it's not so harsh on your lungs.
Oh, yeah, because definitely, you know, in the wintertime in South Dakota, you go outside and it's just like...
Right, right. So then we've got all that...
Because not saying that my body's not doing its job, it's just that that job gets to be exceptionally harder.
Right. So we've warmed it. We also have all those hairs and stuff like that in our nose, and that that does more of that filtration stuff for keeping particles out. And then from the nose, we go to the nasal pharynx, which like is just behind the nose and starts to go down to, you know, how your nose and your throat connect.
Yeah.
Okay. Or your mouth and your nose that connects to the pharynx.
Yeah, like when you do a neti pot.
I've actually never done a neti pot.
But I hear, like, sometimes they're bad for you and, like, whatever. Like, I'm not giving any medical advice, but in my personal experience.
I've always kind of wanted to try one just to see.
Yeah. Regardless, it's pretty cool that you can put liquid up your nose and it falls out your mouth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think of every time you have to, like, hock a loogie.
Yeah.
Or, like, when you, you kind of, you know.
Oh, my gosh. That's a very popular sound here. It's, like, not impolite to do that here.
Well, I totally saw someone doing the snot rocket last night. So that's like where the nasal pharynx is. And okay, so the thing that changes here is now that we're down to the mouth again, we're adding food into the mix. Because
right.
We're going down that same tube. So now we have to switch back to squamous epithelium. And this time it's still non-keratinized, but since we use the same tube to move food down, we kind of have to make it good for both food and air.
Double purpose.
Yeah. And then we go down, and then you get more to your throat area. That's your larynx, and, you know, that's where your vocal cords are, right?
Yeah.
Okay. After that, we go back to that respiratory epithelium. So, like, it's what's interesting to me is how many transitions and back and forth between different cell types we have to do just to try and keep our body safe, you know?
Sure.
And then from the larynx, we go to the trachea, which, you know, you can actually feel if you feel on your throat and you feel all those little, like...
Those ridges.
Yeah, that's all cartilage in there. That's what you're feeling is cartilage. So this respiratory epithelium that we've been talking about, you know, like I said, it's ciliated, and now is really when that ciliation is important, because if any thing has gone down this far, that's when the cilia are working on moving things back up. So
why?
Like particles.
Oh, okay.
Foreign objects, pathogens, that sort of thing. And those goblet cells, that mucus, is also there to help trap those things.
They're called goblet cells.
Yeah, goblet cells.
All I'm imagining is, like, giant wine glasses full of phlegm. And that sounds disgusting to me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. Okay, so then we hit... okay, so then we go down, and we've got our trachea, and you know that it splits out to go to your two lungs.
Okay.
So that's where it splits and becomes a primary bronchi. And there's one that goes to each one.
Sure.
Okay, so what's on the left side of your chest besides your lungs?
Your heart.
Yes.
Your liver. Your left kidney.
No, chest. You were good at heart. Why'd you keep going?
I don't know. I was like getting really impressed with myself. Your liver's just, over on your left side, right?
No.
Dang.
Okay, so because your heart is on the left side of your chest, that means that your lung has to be a little bit further to the left than... from like the midline, then your right lung can be closer to the center.
Makes room.
Yeah, because your left lung is making room for the heart. So as that that primary bronchi goes into the lungs, the left one has to go further than the right one.
Sure.
Okay. So that left one is actually at less of an angle, like it's a little bit flatter than the right one. The right one is more steep and direct into the right lung. You know why that's important?
No, but I bet you're going to tell me.
No, I'm not going to.
Well, let me read your notes.
Actually, I don't even have this in my
notes.
Okay,
well, just
I just think it's interesting. Okay, so if someone aspirates a foreign object or, like, they accidentally breathe something in, when they're standing up, it's most likely to go into the right lung because that's a more direct
route. Oh, sure.
It's basically, like, if you kind of follow gravity in a way, it's almost straight down.
Oh?
Yeah. Now, that's different if they're, like, laying down or whatever, because it doesn't fall in the same way. But if somebody breathes something in that or aspirates something, that's where you look first.
Well, and you know what? That one time that I had pneumonia, it was only in my right lung.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's little things like that that make me think how so much of this, like, medicine and everything that I'm learning is not magic. It's just kind of makes sense.
And it's,
you know,
not that different than, like, working on a car.
Yeah. I totally think of, you know, the housework that we've done and building things and working on motorcycles.
How mechanical it is.
Yeah. Okay, so they've split out, and once they go into the lungs, they actually branch out a ton from there. They make what we call intrapulmonary bronchi, the secondary bronchi. So intra meaning inside, and pulmonary meaning, you know, lung. And what happens is it just divides over and over and over, and it makes lobar and segmental bronchi. So it just keeps splitting out and splitting out. And it's all lined by that respiratory epithelium. And finally, we get down to the primary and terminal bronchioles, which don't have cartilage around. Like, we have cartilage rings going down that far. But now in the primary and terminal, we don't have that cartilage. We actually have little cartilage plates. But now we're adding smooth muscle. And I don't so smooth muscle is a type of muscle that we can't, like, consciously control.
Okay, sure.
Okay, so that smooth muscle, its job is to constrict or relax. Okay? So it makes your bronchial either smaller or bigger.
Like asthmatics.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. And what's cool about it is that, you know, as you need more air, it relaxes so that you can get more air. But your body does this this thing called matching, VQ matching, where the blood flow into your lungs is not evenly distributed. Okay?
Okay.
So the reason it's not evenly distributed might be because you've got a little plaque buildup in one area, or the way that your vasculature developed, it just naturally, you've got more in your left lower lung or whatever. But your lungs can keep track of that, where more blood is going. And the more blood you have in one area, the more gas exchange can happen, because you're just pushing more stuff to it to do gas exchange, right?
Okay.
So you will constrict your bronchioles in areas where you don't send as much blood, and then relax in areas that you have more blood.
Oh.
So your body naturally constricts and relaxes bronchioles
regulate blood flow.
Not to regulate blood flow, but to give you the best chance at gas exchange. To give you the best scenario for gas exchanges you can possibly have.
Huh. That's cool.
Yeah, I think that's really, really neat. And, you know, at this point, we're talking of things so, so small. They're actually a millimeter or less is the size of these bronchioles at this point. But the thing is, none of the gas exchange is happening at the primary terminal. That actually marks the end of the conduction portion of the respiratory. So we go all the way down, and we have all those different changes and different cell types and everything like that, and we haven't even actually exchanged any gas at this point. The terminal bronchioles, which are the primary lead to the terminal, are even further down, and those are the actual end of the conduction portion. Those are smaller than half a millimeter. So we have all these little bronchi around that. Your body is controlling how tight and how loose they are for that optimal gas exchange. And we're talking things less than half a millimeter. And they're so small that they have these things called club cells. And these club cells are secreting surfactant, which is like kind of a mucousy type material. And what it does is it reduces surface tension.
Oh.
So think of like two wet pieces of paper, right?
Yeah.
So if you put two wet pieces of paper together...
They stick.
They stick. And you can't really pull them apart. So that's what your bronchioles and your alveoli would do if it didn't have surfactant to help keep it from sticking to itself.
Oh, wow, that's
cool. It would
all
just collapse on itself. another thing that... these club cells have is a lot of smooth endoplasmic reticulum inside of the cells. And the cell, the SER, smooth endoplasmic reticulum, that their job is, or one of the things they're really good at, is metabolizing the material that can eat non-self things. So any... So any like pathogens that get down that far, any foreign objects, you have all these club cells in the terminal bronchioles that can reach out and grab them and eat them.
Shut up.
So that it never makes it into your gas exchange area.
That's cool.
Yeah.
They're like bouncers.
Yeah, totally.
But that would eat you.
You're right. Bouncer, well, actually, I think I know a few that I wouldn't put it past them.
That's probably fair.
Yeah. So that's just takes us to the terminal portion, or to the end of the conduction portion. I think it'd probably be good to leave it there, and we're going to hit the respiratory portion, or the gas exchange part another time, because that's a whole nother interesting thing.
All right. Make sure you check us out on artofmedschool.com. We have a ton of more information, blog posts, any of our past episodes that you might have missed, as well as some really fun underwater photography that Mike has been working on. There's some cute photos of fish. So check us out on artofmedschool.com. Like money?
Yes.
And no, you know.
Not really, but like it's how we pay for bills. And
yeah.
I like food.
Yeah.
And food costs money.
It's true.
So by that logic, I like money.
It is something that everybody needs is some money. And so figuring out how to make money is a little tricky sometimes.
Right, and not as much fun as making food.
No, at least. You wouldn't know.
That, wow. You know, I used to cook a lot. In fact, many people told me that I was a good cook.
Yeah, that's because you never married them. You were really great. We've had this conversation.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's a handful of kind of random ways that we go about making money on this island.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's got to hustle a little bit.
Yeah, it's like they say that the unemployment rate here is over 20%, but... I don't know that I've met anyone that actually doesn't work.
Right. That there's, everybody's got some side hustle. I think that not everybody works above the table.
No, for sure not.
And
I'd say at least 20% don't.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So,
not all of it, like working above or below table is not the only legality issues that some of them face.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, from my knowledge, all of the things that we're doing is perfectly legal.
As far as I know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah. So, one way that we...
There's also not laws here.
In the same way.
It's more like guidelines.
That's true. So, one way that we make money is we have a two-bedroom house, and we rent out our second bedroom on Airbnb.
Yes. And we're actually having our second person, our second rental coming up soon. It was the first one was kind of an interesting experience.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad, but we need to figure out how to do it right. Like, the guy was here, and he was very nice, but the guy was here, like, updating Facebook or something like that for his friends back home, and it was time for Jen and I to eat, and so we gave him food. But he definitely, like, that wasn't included in the cost.
Right, yeah, he hadn't paid for it. And so, yeah. But, like, we wanted to be nice, but...
Yeah, like, it also feels extremely weird for us to be not feeding people.
Sure.
You know?
So, you know, but, so that actually is pretty easy money.
Yeah, for sure.
And
it wasn't bad. Like, it was decent money, too.
Yeah. I mean, especially on this pay scale, because anytime that you can make American money... It's so much better than making EC dollars.
Right. The only downside is that it's basically a weekends only kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's not very regular.
No.
Another thing is...
Oh, I would say I was surprised how quickly we got someone.
Sure.
That you posted it, and it was within a couple of weeks that mm-hmm. we already got contact. I would think that the more that you're on Airbnb, the more people you have stayed, the more likely you're going to come up, and the more reviews and ratings you have, so it's more likely that you'll get people once you've already started to get people.
Yeah, and so, yeah, now that we've got a review, we've got somebody else coming, and, well,
yeah.
So it's also kind of fun having... You know, different people.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. Something that I've done a few times is I would cook for other students that didn't want to cook. And that worked out. I made just the same food that I was going to make for us and then portioned some out and they paid for that.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Something else that we've done is... organize some trips. So we've got a car and not everybody else has a car. And we've
in fact, I would say most other people, students don't. Yeah. Actually, I don't think anyone does in my class.
In your class, yeah.
Yeah.
In some of the upper classes, they do.
Yeah, if you're like, yeah.
But,
handful.
And so what that means is that they don't always have the same level of access to experiences on the island that we
right.
do.
Right.
And so...
And it seems like a fair amount of them don't have local friends like we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't even necessarily know...
What to do.
Yeah, what to do or what they're missing out on. And so they want to go out and do something, but they don't know what, where, when, what's safe, you know.
Yeah.
It's a concern for a lot of them.
So we've organized a trip to the volcano and organized a guide. Also just kind of random beach days that have worked out really nicely because then they help with gas and something that we were going to do anyway.
Right.
But we do make a little bit off of that. But
yeah.
I mean, not like we're extorting people.
No, it actually covers their portion and then a little extra to make our entertainment not so expensive, basically.
Yeah. So that's actually pretty fun. A lot of people also for some extra money go to a different online school to be able to get overages. Can you explain that a little bit more, Micah?
Yeah. So since we're in a Caribbean system and we're out of country, we don't qualify for any kind of federal financial aid,
mm-hmm.
and that makes loans extremely difficult to figure out. You know, that seems to be one of the greatest barriers for Caribbean med schools, is that financing is so much more difficult, especially for American students. Like, Canadian students have a different setup, so they actually get more of like a line of credit from the government and not exactly the same sort of loan system where it's very much going to the school first.
Mm.
You know, like they can take out, I don't know. Anyway, point being, that it's very difficult to figure out. And one of the things that quite a few people do is they pursue, like, a master's degree while in medical school. And Walden University, which I know a lot of people are a little iffy on Walden, actually has a rep that is on campus, or has come and visited our campus
yeah.
and explained the situation. And, you know, if you pick up one class... a term or whatever, it's not exactly a ton of extra work, especially online. Like, it's a lot of discussion and posts and forums and stuff like that. So, like, if you can manage your time well, it's not terrible. You end up getting, you know, a master's in public health administration or whatever while getting your medical degree. And so you go to apply for a residency or whatever, and your resume looks better. But also the big point of it is you take out the maximum loan that you can, and any overage that can then be used to help cover your medical school debt or your cost of living. So it's still a loan. You're still having to pay all that back, but sometimes
it's a system a systemic workaround.
Yeah.
A system workaround.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of cool. We personally have rental properties back in the U.S. that do make us some money currently. Not as much as we would be liking, because we have one that's not 100% rented out right now.
Right.
But regardless, we've got those rental properties that are bringing in some income. And then
we don't even touch that income.
No, we don't. But we are thinking, considering sometime down the line, that we would sell those to be able to finance the rest of school.
Right. Yeah. Try and keep debts low. So while we might lose all of our assets, we're saving ourselves quite a bit of debt.
Yeah. So that's something that we do, that I know that not everybody has, but.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we were busting pretty hard, like, on our finances before we decided to come down here.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and then we were able to have savings too.
Yeah.
So, but for those rental properties are, you know, it's another small income source. Additionally,
I actually know someone in my class who is renting out their house back home, and they did not get a property manager. They're trying to manage it from the Caribbean.
Gosh.
And I was like, well, do you have someone who looks in on it for you or anything? Because I was actually asking, like, I was going to ask her about their property manager. And she's like, oh, well, my sister lives in the kind of the neighborhood, so she swings by every couple of weeks or so.
I mean, that's nice of her sister.
And she's doing Section 8 housing.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's extremely risky to me.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's not working.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's such an additional stressor.
Oh. But, you know, so far it's been, you know, it is what it is. So that's, yeah, you know, another option out there in the world. I also currently have a job on island.
Right.
And so the legality of me having a job is based on the fact that I am considered an independent contractor for this corporation. So they don't have to pay the government for the same amount for all of my my employment work permit and paperwork. So
yep.
That's kind of the workaround that we figured out with that one. My job, it doesn't make a ton of money, but, you know, every little bit, it helps.
Mm-hmm. And it keeps you off the streets.
Keeps me off the streets. I
actually
probably
puts you on the streets quite a bit.
Yeah, like, so my job, I do the majority of the purchasing for a restaurant, and then I also do some managerial duties at this restaurant as well, operations management. And but a good portion of my job is just walking on the streets trying to find the best deals on tomatoes.
Yeah, right.
I don't know why they chose me and not somebody that actually knows the running prices for tomatoes, but hey, I'll take it.
Yeah.
It gets me some good exercise walking around town. And so now I know where most things are in town.
Yeah.
Kingstown.
Right, right.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Kingstown.
Well, and you've picked up more than a few shifts at the rum shop too.
Yep. Yep.
Just helping out whenever you
can.
Yeah.
So bartending up at the rum shop too. That's been helpful.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are some random ways that we've been able to rock the hustle. Hey, last week we launched our Patreon account. Please go check it out. You can find a link on our website or just look up Art of Med School on patreon.com. This is a great way to support us as we work hard to make the most and best content possible. You can find more information on our homepage at artofmedschool.com. And every little bit helps. Thanks.
You know what class I've been taking so far that I just really don't care for?
Ethics.
Actually, I like Catholics a lot. I like that a lot. I did get a little fired up on some gender reassignment conversation the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah, but that's a whole different
bag of squamous cells.
Right.
I
got real fired up when someone said that they understood the LGBTQ struggle because they have a friend who is one.
Right.
It's like,
Yep.
Anyway.
So I think it's embryology.
It is embryology. And it's kind of interesting, but I just cannot, make the connection. And, it's so kind of convoluted where here's a ball, and now it has three layers inside the ball, and now this layer meets this layer, while this layer obliterates, and now it's a baby.
Sure.
Or something,
Well, how do you get through it?
So, actually, what changed for me was doing the upper and lower limbs of the adult body.
Oh yeah, you said that's really complicated.
Because just there's so much going on, so many different muscles, because it's such weird movement in very 3D, But at that same time, I was having to learn about the development of the upper and lower limbs and embryology. And all of a sudden, it clicked about how...
they were connected?
Yeah, it was very specifically that. How the way that the things are formed dictates how they exist in us now and how what things are now that don't seem to be related are actually related because they come from the same embryological origin.
Sure.
Okay, so like we've talked about dermatomes, right? This idea that one set of spinal nerves will cover a swath of skin because that skin came from where those spinal nerves came from.
Yeah, I remember you saying something about the anus or the rectum.
What was
that? The skin was...
Yeah, the split there.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so the dermatomes, though, like there's also sclerotomes, which is the bones of the body that all cut and the bones and the cartilage and the connective tissue that all come from the same place, like the same origin, and myotomes, all the different muscles that are grouped together because they come from the same embryological origin. So. What's awesome is that when we think of a part of our body, like a body part, so your leg, right?
Yes.
That part comes from the same place embryologically. Like it has the same origin. Okay, so let's just talk about your thigh. We'll talk about your thigh, okay?
All right.
So on the front of your thigh, there is some muscles that help you extend your knee.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Yeah. So they help you extend your knee, and then there's muscles on the back that help you flex.
Bring it back, yeah.
Yep. And in between those sets of muscles, there's like a layer of connective tissue, some fascia, that separates them from each other.
Sure.
And then on the inside of your leg, there's another compartment that their job is to adduct. So to bring
thighs together.
Yeah.
Thigh master.
Yeah. So... posterior thigh. So each of those are different compartments. So like posterior thigh, they all do the same thing, right? So what I was having to do or what I was trying to do is I was trying to think of all those different muscles in there and memorize them.
Sure.
You know? And okay, so I have to know semitendinosus and it flexes the knee and extends the thigh. Okay. Semimembranosus, okay, flex the knee and then extends the thigh. Okay. Biceps femoris.
Right.
I wasn't linking them all. And then that's when it dawned on me, oh my word, they're all in the same posterior compartment. They all came from the same place. They all do basically the same damn thing, and they're all innervated. They all get their signals from the same nerves because they're in the same compartment.
What does that have to do with embryo, though?
They all have that same thing.
The same origin.
Because they all have the same origin.
Yeah.
So they all came out of the, you know, the same. It's a somite, is one of the buds along the back of an embryo that gives rise to all the muscles and, you know, different parts of compartment. And so instead of having to think of all these different muscles separately and then link them, you know, memorize all those different nerves and stuff like that, I could just remember the posterior compartment and what happens.
Boom.
And then it makes sense. So kind of similarly, that we have this thing called pharyngeal arches. And when you're a little fetus and you still look like an alien, you actually kind of look like some of the Native American art that we saw in Alaska.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. We have these pharyngeal arches, and they're essentially like the embryological origins of our head and neck. So like pharyngeal one develops for like the muscles and bones for mastication, so chewing. And so if I know the bones that are involved in chewing, and I know the muscles that are involved in chewing, I know they all come from the same place.
Sure.
So like on a test the other day, I can't remember.
So what you're saying at the end of the day is what's really great about embryology is that it's actually helping you learn biology as opposed to just memorize it.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting the concept.
I mean,
anatomy and physiology.
AMP.
I mean, you're getting the idea that everything comes from the same origin and goes in the same way. So if I don't remember that your buccal muscle, which is a muscle for mastication, if I don't remember the innervation, like what nerve serves it, but hey, I remember that the masseter is cranial nerve 5, the third branch of the trigeminal nerve, and that's also a muscle for chewing. Well, they're both muscles for chewing. They're both innervated by cranial nerve 5. Yeah, so it really helps to like pull all these different ideas together and help them make sense.
Yeah. All right, there you have it. This week we talked about the conduction portion of the lungs, random things we do to make money, and why embryology is important. Our theme music, Urbanimatronica Woo Ya Mix by Spinning Mercata, is copyright 2011, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. This show is not affiliated or endorsed in any way by St. James School of Medicine. Micah just goes there. The Art of Med School podcast is part of the Art of Med School Network. For more information, find us on the web at artofmedschool.com.